It's delightful to welcome to the studio Margaret Mills today for the return of our monthly book review. Hello, Margaret.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, how are you today?
I'm okay? Very well, thank
you.
Yeah,
battled through the heat out there to get to our nice air-conditioned studio.
Wow, it is hot out there.
It is. It's absolutely lovely, but a little bit too hot for me. And you live in Billericay, I understand.
I do indeed.
Now, there was quite a storm in Billericay last night, so much so that the high street was damaged or something. Well, do you know anything any more about it?
I don't know any more really than probably you do that I read on the travel news this morning. I assume it's to do with the storm last night and flooding, and apparently it was closed from Knowsley Road right to the other end High Street.
Yeah, I believe it's open again now. But, so one resident said, never experienced such a loud thunderstorm before. Felt though it went directly over Billericay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Probably everybody's saying it was right over my house.
Okay.
But it certainly felt that way.
It woke you up, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think anybody could have slept through it.
No, and there's more to come over the weekend, I think, so we'll keep our heads down. Anyway, as I say, lovely to see you. Now, you've got review for us, A Green and Pleasant Land, How England's Gardeners Fought the Second World War.
Yes.
So, tell us all about this.
Right, it's a paperback book. It's by a lady called Isabella Buchan. And I've not read any of her other books, but I found this a really good and interesting read. Uh-huh. I would say it's an ideal book for anybody who's going on holiday, wants something factual, doesn't want anything too heavy, too substantial topic-wise.
Yep.
Or maybe they've got children or grandchildren doing a social history topic about Britain during the Second World War.
Right.
Ideal. It's really about how when the Second World War broke out in 1939, England's agriculture and market gardeners were in a pretty dire state because we've become very used to importing so much of our food from abroad.
Right.
Now, this is ringing a bell even today, isn't it? Nothing changes.
Yeah, yeah.
And something had to be done very quickly, obviously, because bringing stuff over by ships, not only was it a case of not wanting to use shipping space, but also the danger
of
getting the ships in
with
the food and etc. on board. And so people were actively encouraged, gardeners, non-gardeners, men, women, children, whoever you were encouraged to take up their gardening implements and however small a patch of land you had to start producing your own fruit and veg.
Absolutely. Of course, there was a government-backed campaign called Dig for Victory, wasn't there?
There was a campaign, believe it or not, the Dig for Victory campaign. The common held belief is that phrase was coined by Michael Foote.
Oh, okay.
The 1980s leader of the Labour Party.
Yes, I know,
I don't think it's ever been conclusively substantiated.
Okay.
But it's a fascinating book. It's full of a lot of information about how they actually began to turn people who were gardeners on a small scale into fruit and veg growers on a big scale.
Right.
And they did it by commandeering every available space, not only people's back gardens, but parks, wasteland, even golf courses, dare I say it, rugby club grounds, football pitches.
Amazing, yeah.
Careful what I'm saying now. They dug them up and they planted them so that people could at least try and be fairly self-sufficient during the war. And it started off with nobody actually believing that this would work, but it worked, and it worked extremely well.
Right.
And Ursula outlines how exactly it got underway. Government-led, promoted by, in the main, the Minister for Food, a man called Lord Walton, who became quite famous because he handed out recipes for the famous Walton pie.
Okay.
Which became a standing joke all the way through the war and for many years afterwards,
right,
as being completely inedible. But nevertheless, you know, it used up your vegetables that you've grown in your back
garden.
That's
what was in it. It was a vegetable pie,
it
was it?
Yeah? It was a vegetable pie, plus a bit of gravy and a bit of seasoning,
okay,
and slap on the mashed potato. Mash from your own potatoes,
of course yeah.
On top. And somebody coined the phrase, tastes like a steak and kidney pie, but without the steak and kidney. The book's full of very humorous anecdotes, a lot of good factual information. Anyone who belongs to the WI, she mentions at some length about how the WI were called in by the government to promote this,
right,
to try and get people, you know, involved in gardening and becoming more adept at gardening.
Right.
And so there's a lot in there about the history of the WI through the wartime.
Okay, yeah.
So I can see this book appealing to a lot of different people.
Yes, sounds like. Now, apparently there was even a radio station growing its own veg,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, indeed, Radio Allotment. Now, there's an idea for you, Bob.
Well, we'll have to get Andrew Babbage on that. He's our resident gardening expert.
Absolutely.
So do you think we ought to dig up the Brentwood Centre car park and make it into allotments? How
well,
about that?
And why not? Why not? You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, well, of course, it's quite a good, well, a very big contrast, yeah, to today, where you get in your car, you nip down to your local supermarket and you pick your vegetables off the shelf and just don't even think about really how and where they were produced.
No.
And I suppose people had to plan their allotments and grow things in rotation and all that sort of thing. All these things they had to learn, didn't know anything about it.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. They were helped by leaflets given out by the government, but also they called in these gardening experts.
Right.
In the main, there were no TV programmes. I mean, TV went off the air in 1939 for the duration.
Okay.
The rumour has it, in the middle of a Mickey Mouse cartoon. So just think, 6 years before those kids found out how the Mickey Mouse cartoon ended.
Yeah.
Not fair, is
no,
it?
No, not fair at
but
all.
But no, I mean, there was a huge drive and everyone who was anybody was brought in behind it to promote it.
Right, okay. Well, it sounds fascinating. I think I asked you last time about giving it your star rating. What would you? How many stars would you give this out of five?
I think I would give it 4 out of 5.
Yeah,
pretty
good,
high.
For a good holiday read, perhaps.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Fascinating. Well, thanks very much, Margaret. That's It's a Green and Pleasant Land, How England's Gardeners Fought the Second World War. It's by Ursula Buchan. It's in paperback, non-fiction, and it's published by Windmill Books, price $9.99. Fantastic. So, have you picked one for next month for us?
I have indeed.
Oh, what we got?
I've picked another paperback. This time it's Payback by a lady called Kimberly Chambers.
Okay.
Very different to the gardeners.
Right. This sounds fiction, is it?
It is fiction.
Right.
Yes, it's about a whole family, set in the UK, a whole family who are not too fussy about keeping on the right side of the law, shall we say.
A dodgy lot. Okay.
Gripping stuff.
Really? Okay.
Very,
well, we'll
very
look
gripping.
Forward to hearing that next month, Margaret. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Enjoyed
Bob.
That a lot. We'll
Thank
see you.
You
next month. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.